Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God. And this morning we talked on another broadcast about the kingdoms of the world and some of the crazy things that they do. And one of the most amazing things is that a lot of the crazy things they do, most people think is perfectly normal because they haven't known anything different. You know, they think, well, that's the way it always is. That's the way the government works. That's the way the world is. And, you know, they can't imagine anything different. You know, we have a tendency to want things a certain way. We have a tendency to get used to the way Mama made it. You know, it used to be a joke around here that's as good as store-bought. You know, because we were making, years ago, we come out here and lived in the deserts and high deserts, and she became a sheep herder and farmer, and we're kind of self-sufficient up here in the high deserts. We live over 4,000 feet in the air, or above sea level, at least where sea level is today. That may change, but anyway, that we would make a lot of things for ourselves. It's 100 miles to town, and so you have a tendency to produce everything yourself and not go shopping. We couldn't afford to go shopping even if we could get to town, and so we would make almost everything: our own cheeses, own wine, own beer, own butter, everything we would make ourselves or grow it and produce it ourselves. And so we got very proficient at it. We loved doing it. It was just something that we liked doing. And so we'd make something that we had normally bought in the store when we were growing up. And we would say, that's as good as store-bought. Because that was the equation. And when you were growing up, the advertisements you would see on TV is, that's as good as homemade. That some big manufacturing company was trying to reproduce food so that it was as good as homemade. And, you know, when I lived in California for a while, you could actually go out and find orange trees and actually make your own orange juice with fresh squeezed orange juice that you just picked off the tree. And now we are going to the store and trying to buy orange juice in the world today. And that orange juice that we buy, we think, well, that tastes like fresh squeezed, you know. The problem is in order to make all these orange juices so they all taste the same, is what they do is they extract all the oxygen from the orange juice when they squeeze it out of the oranges. And that takes away all the flavor when you subtract that oxygen out. I don't know if they do something with that oxygen, because it's probably got a lot of the smell of the oranges in it and everything. But they take it to preserve it. Now, when they go to reconstitute it, that's why you always see reconstituted or made from concentrate. When they reconstitute it, that doesn't mean just add water. That means to add flavoring. So what they've done is they've taken what tastes like oranges, why oranges taste like oranges, and they've broken down those oranges into their chemical components. And then in order to make the orange juice all taste the same, they simply take the chemicals that make oranges taste oranges, mix it up into a little bottle, and mix so much in with so many gallons of deoxygenated orange juice. And so you're really, they're just fixing it for your taste buds. There's very little consideration of what is actually healthy for you. So they're ending up producing these commodities that taste great, but are less fulfilling. And I use the word fulfilling there because they're not actually nutrients oriented. They'll vitamin C added. You know, they put some ascorbic acid in there, which there's lots of different kinds of ascorbic acid. So they're not making very healthy food for you. They're making food that you will consume, that you will come back and buy. They actually try to add substances that make it more addictive, so that you come back and you want more. You want to repeat that experience. Because their motivation is really to sell orange juice. And I don't want to pick on orange juice people. We could go into a lot of other commodities. It's the same way. I mean, why they put so much sugar in so many foods, because they know that sugar is addictive. And Americans and people all over the world now are addicted to sugar. And so they design their product to get you, so you can't just eat one, you know, like the old Lay's potato chip commercial. I bet you there was sugar in that too. I bet you can't eat just one. They want to get you so you eat the whole bag, and then you got to go buy another bag. So, and that's their motivation. And it changes the nature of the product that you're going to get. So is that also true with governments? What's your motivation for forming a government? Now, way back, George Washington and these other guys who got together and they formed the United States federal government, which was a democracy, wasn't a republic. It was to guarantee a republican form of government, but it itself was an indirect democracy. It was not a republic. And it even states that in the American Creed. I believe in the United States, a democracy within a republic. What republic? The General Republic of America. And America was generally called a republic even before the American Revolution. Cromwell sent troops over to the United to where we are today, which we call the United States. They sent, but it wasn't called the United States then. He sent it over to America to protect the American Republic. This was before the American Revolution, because the individual colonies were forming republics. One of the things about a republic is that the purpose of a republic is so that the people are free from things public. They are the power, not the government. The government leaders are titular. They're not lawmakers. They're representatives. And they don't rule over the people. They provide some services, but they have virtually little or no power to exercise authority. They can't declare war. They can't force people to do this, that, or the other thing. They can't take away your property. They really even hardly, in a pure republic, they have no real power of taxation on the people themselves. Sometimes they're given the power of excise taxes, and which is not taxes on the people, because the people are in possession of themselves. Excise taxes, tax on the use. So if you own everything you have, they can't tax any of it. But if you have just the use of something but don't actually own it, they can tax that. The point is that you have this republic where you're free from things public. That's originally, the word doesn't come from res publica, things public. It comes from libera res publica, which means free from things public. And in a republic, you own your land, you own your labor, you own your children, and you are basically in a system of government that is prone to capitalism. Capitalism is when the means of production are owned by the people individually. That's what capitalism is. It's not corporatism. Corporatism, when it tries capitalism, it can get out of hand, but capitalism is when the people own the means of production. They own their land. That's one of the means of production. They own the ore under their land. They own the mineral rights. They own themselves, their own labor. That's capitalism. You don't have capitalism in the United States, and you haven't had it in the United States for 100 years or more, because you don't own the means of production. You don't even own the use of your own land. And we go through this in Law versus Legal. You have to read the Covenants of the Gods. It's not really what the show is about today. But anyway, understanding that those republics got together and thought they needed to form another form of government They actually wanted just to revise the Articles of Confederation. And we have a whole book on this. You can download it for free online. We're not one of those churches that say, oh, we've written a book, you can buy it from us, or you can buy the right to download it. We actually believe in Faith, Hope, and Charity. And we give the information away for free. We can't print them up for free. We just don't have those kinds of funds. Because unfortunately, most of the people in America do not believe in Faith, Hope, and Charity. And so therefore, they'll download the book and they won't donate anything. They just download the book, they read it, and they say, cool. And then they just don't even bother to support this ministry. We have some people who do a little bit, but we're not bringing one of those goody, sugary messages that you're just saved because you thought a thought. We're actually bringing you the truth, and the truth sometimes hurts. So people don't like to pay somebody to hurt them, but there are a few of you out there, I know, who are actually trying to find out what the truth is. The truth is important to you. So the truth is, the United States federal government is a democracy and a republic. That's what its creed says. That's what the reality says. You read the Constitution, that's not a republic. That's an indirect democracy. It had nothing to do with the people. It wasn't put to the people for a vote. It had to do with the states. People weren't even citizens of the United States. They were citizens of the individual states. And the United States had no or little jurisdiction within the individual states. So that's all changed now. We have a completely different animal. We still call it the United States, but it's a different animal. And our relationship to it as citizens of the United States and residents of our local states is completely reversed from what it used to be. But the point is, when they got together, those men who got together and wrote up the Constitution, they were just supposed to come up with some ideas to amend the Articles of Confederation, which they could not do without unanimous consent of all the states. That was in the agreement. They wrote a whole new constitution, and they didn't have the right to do that. But they signed it. And when they signed it, was it law? No. They disagreed that this was it. This is what we came up with. And so they took that constitution, which wasn't government, it was a suggestion, and the states started voting on it. They didn't all agree. Some of them wouldn't vote for it, but they implemented it anyway, even though that was a violation of the Articles of Confederation. But their intent was to find some sort of solution. And they made some serious, grievous errors. And if you read the Anti-Federalist Papers, you read our book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, you will see we go through step by step how they made mistakes. They should have included at least four more items in that Constitution that the Bible tells you to put in the Constitution, and we list them off and show you them. And you can see because they didn't do that, they very quickly moved from the free government they were trying to create to something that was quite different. But they didn't. Those people were passing away. There was other people coming in and causing this motion in this other direction. But the real culprits in causing this motion in the other direction are the people. Now, we had a massive influx of people from all kinds of different countries that come from all kinds of different backgrounds and cultures and governments. And they were very much a part of that. But the show really didn't get on the road. You could see evidence of going in the wrong direction in 1849, 1850, and then the Civil War didn't help anything at all. It made matters even worse. They went from a minimal state rights to even less state rights, and you ended up with the U.S. citizen, which centralized a great deal of power. But the real great progress began in the early 1900s. And it was able to begin in the 1900s because we moved from private education, which educated most of the people in America, were educated by private educational efforts, private funding, private schools, etc., etc. and we began to move into the public school arena, where somewhere in the early part of the century, we moved over from most of the people being educated by private funding to public funding. And even then, you know, I've actually been working on a schoolhouse. Those of you who are on our Facebook, my Facebook page, have seen me up there on the schoolhouse painting it and re-roofing it as a historical landmark. It's not used as a school anymore. But we've been, that original school was not built with total public funds. It was built on private property and had private efforts of the community to build that school. But today, public schools are entirely funded, almost entirely funded by public donations, which means taxation. That was a huge change in the course of America. And of course, now, then we had Social Security was funded by public coffers. There's no separate Social Security fund. It's all in one fund. Supreme Court's ruled that over and over again. Your health care now, your Medicare, all these things are through taxation. This is a complete reverse from what America really was. And it's changed, the attitude change in the people has changed the direction of the nation. It's changed the mindset, the collective consciousness of the nation. Now, in earlier shows, I talked about the fact that there's a CME, a coronal mass ejection, headed towards this planet from a recent minor explosion on the sun. Happens all the time. Nothing to get excited about. There are alerts that go up at pipelines and power companies whenever these CMEs are coming in. Sometimes they cancel polar flights for airlines and stuff during these coronal mass ejections. There's another spot that's coming around, just had an M5, I think, or M7 class flare on it. And that will be Earth-facing in a couple of days. And it could be a big CME come off that. Some of the biggest CMEs I've seen have been during solar minimum. And some of the really big ones that took place, I said earlier, I think 1885, I think it was 1858 actually is when it took place, actually melted telegraph wires. These solar flares could have a devastating effect on the mechanisms of our modern society. Your TVs, your power, your radio phones, your cell phones, your satellite navigational systems, all these could shut down. Pipelines could shut down. All this could happen with a major CME, which is inevitable. They happen. It's going to happen again, and nobody's really prepared. At least the general population are totally oblivious to it. There's been some people talking about it. But there's a lot of other disasters that could take place. This actually can speed up the geological activity on the planet. And this is all connected. I mean, a number of years ago, they thought that the magnetic north was absolutely constant, never changed. And then they discovered that it actually moves at like 5 kilometers per year. And lately, they've discovered that it's moving much faster. It's moving at like 60 kilometers per year. And we mentioned the fact they used to think the Earth's core was so hot. And now they've decided that it appears that it's 1,000 degrees hotter than they thought before. Has it heated up, or did they just recalculate it different? You know, they can't put a thermometer down there to see if the Earth has a fever. But the point is they're discovering lots of things going on. Magnetic north is moving rapidly compared to the way it used to be. The Schumann resonance is changing. Lots of things going on. There seems to be more volcanic activity. All these things can move the Earth into a more active geological state. The Sun was expected to have an even greater solar max, and it's actually been rather puny this time around. Every 11 years, Sun gets very active. And so are we moving to global warming? If global warming is the cause by the sun, it's not caused by CO2 gases. CO2 gases are good. They've been around for a long time. They make plants grow faster. it is true that we do too much polluting, but it isn't really the CO2 gases that we have to worry about. There's a lot of other pollutions that we're putting into the atmosphere by the billions of tons that are a lot more lethal to the habitat of man. But people are ignorant. They don't know what's going on. And part of this is because they've decided to eat of the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life. They have no intuitive standard to go by, no godly intuitive standard to go by. So their ideas and their beliefs and their thoughts can be tossed to and fro. And the people who say they believe in Jesus, they're some of the worst. They are so confused, it's ridiculous, because they just say it. They don't even know who he is. They think they know, oh, I know Jesus because they had this emotional experience, but they're not doing anything that Jesus said. If you really knew Jesus, you would automatically develop a conscience of Christ and begin to say, oh, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And I actually see this. I've seen this in homes where, you know, one member of the family is born again and they all are crazy about Jesus and all this stuff. But when they want something, they want to put it on the tax rolls right away. And other members of the family, they're the real Christians. They're not going around saying, Lord, Lord, all the time. But they're actually acting like Christ because it's written in their hearts and their minds. The others are putting it on like whited sepulchres. They're putting it on from the outside. And they're just absolutely in love with the idea that they're saved. And they have this, oh, I'm saved. I'm so happy. I'm lovey-dovey and all this kind of stuff. And it's all put on from outside. And it's often people who are very fanatical and I say fanatical, I don't mean that in a wild-eyed sense, but you know, when they do things, they get into it all the way. And so they get into religion, or at least what's posing as religion. They're really not in religion at all, because religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. And that's the other big turn of society. Instead of, you know, you have some kids that need educating, instead of using charity to build a school and to help educate people and taking the time to educate them, you put it on the tax rolls. People need health care, you put it on the tax rolls. You say, let's force our neighbor to contribute. Let's force the rich to contribute. And that will fund what we want to have. Because I don't think people will fund it otherwise. You're creating your heaven, your kingdom, your government by force. You're going to force your neighbor to contribute to make it happen. This changes you. Changes your thinking, your thought processes, your whole being spiritually. Now here's what I didn't think I was going to say this morning when I started recording this series on contracts. But this changes the physical realm and environment around you. When you do it as a whole planet, it actually affects the sun. Now that's wild-eyed. I cannot prove that. I can't even begin to prove that. But I'm telling you, what you do, what you think, your moral mindset will affect the sun. It actually will affect the sun. That's hard for people to comprehend because they say, well, the sun, how do we do that? It has to do with quantum. You have to go listen to our shows on quantum and string theory and stuff like that. And even then, I didn't go so far as to say that. But you were created in the image of God. You have a creative power. It's very subtle. It's like kind of like gravity. You know, every single piece of mass in the universe produces some gravity by the fact that it's mass. Mass 1 plus mass 2 divided by the distance between the two squared produces a formula for gravity. I'm just going to call it a formula because it's not accurate, but it's close enough. And that gravity field is so small, I mean, it's almost unregisterable in a single atom. Now there's 7 billion people on the earth, and 7 billion people who most of whom think there's nothing wrong with coveting your neighbor's goods. They don't see a problem with that. Now, some of them will see that there's a problem with abortion, killing millions of unborn children. some of them will see that there's a problem with that. They don't really know what the problem is, but they, you know, they're abhorred by the idea. You know, they don't like to stomp puppies into the ground either. But, you know, the reality is that this moral tree of life that should be guiding us, we're unplugged from. And we're unplugged because we didn't want to see the truth. We wanted to feel self-righteous. This goes back to the story of the garden. I mean, I've been asked to have Ken Ham on one of my shows as a guest. And I think the guy's great. I think the work that he's done in creation science is fantastic. He's really opened up doors that most archaeologists have slammed shut. But, you know, he's got a book out, you know, that he did with somebody else where they got pictures of Adam and Eve naked walking around in the garden. I mean, they cover up everything. So, I mean, it's a cartoon kind of kid's book. And, of course, if I question him on that, he's going to think that Adam and Eve were actually walking around naked because the Bible says they were naked. Well, that's not. When you draw these pictures of how you think it is, you're adding to the book because that's not really what it says. It's not what they're talking about. You know, I don't know whether they wore clothes or not, but that's not what the text is talking about. They become too strict and constructionist of it, and you miss the whole point of the story. And the point of the story is that you have these two sources that can guide you in your life. One, they call the tree of life. The other one they call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which one do you want to use as a source for your guidance in life? Is it the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? When you decide to use the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, anybody who manipulates your knowledge will manipulate where you're going as an individual, as a society. And that's what's happened. And we talked about that, how back in 1908, major philanthropic foundations got together and decided to change the way in which Americans view history so that they could merge America with this more centralized government, because this whole republic thing was still quite of a burden to becoming fabulously wealthy New World Order type people, because they want to rule the world. I mean, I get up in the morning, I just want to take care of business here for my family and for those around about me and the obligations that I've taken on. Other people get up in the morning, they want to rule the world. that's just it. They're wealthy already, but they want to rule the world. They want the whole world kowtowing and bowing to their will. And so they got together and they wanted to change the way in which most people thought, because they thought everybody should think like them. They had no idea that somebody else was manipulating their thinking already, because they had already eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were following in the footsteps of Cain and Lamech and Nimrod. So they were on the road to what they thought was creating this corporate utopia, and they're actually on the way to creating Babylon. And Babylon has to do with this Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. It says hunter there, but the word really is victuals, or, you know, often it's things, you know, the supplies. Mighty provider of benefits instead of God. And that's what Nimrod was. And so, anyway, that's how you seduce people to come into your city-state, into your civil society, is that you offer them benefits. You have to put some sort of bait out there. But you also have to change the thinking of the people. And we'll talk more about changing the thinking of the people when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about a power that everybody can tap into. And we call that power the tree of life. And there is something else that you could tap into, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's kind of a vain position to put yourself in, because you're saying that if I collect enough information, if I collect enough facts, if I look about with all my personal power, I can calculate up what I need to know and how I need to act. And what happens is something manipulates that knowledge, telling you, surely you will not die, surely you're saved, surely you are okay, don't worry about anything. And it begins to manipulate you. It begins to channel the energy in you. I mean, we talk in history about people having tremendous power and abilities to do things. Back at the time of Christ, he was healing with his touch, healing with words, and even raising the dead. And yet he said, all these things you shall do, and greater things than these you shall also do. But we're not tapped into that energy in the way he is. We're tapped into something else, something out of the presence of God. We had to go out of the presence of God to tap into this tree of knowledge of good and evil, this other source that is manipulated, where we can be deceived and be in deception upon deception upon deception. And the fact is that which is manipulating this tree of knowledge and what we glean from it, which is really an incomplete picture, is channeling off most of our energy for its own purposes. And we are lost in a realm of its thinking. And its thinking won't think certain things, won't see certain things. First thing it has to do is get you to be proud, to be arrogant, to be imagine that you can figure things out. You know, the greatest revelations that I've had in my lifetime have come when I realized and admitted I can't figure things out. I couldn't figure it out. I knew there was a problem, but I couldn't figure it out. And then all of a sudden it was revealed to me. I mean, and even the means by which to prove was revealed to me. So it's admitting that you cannot figure things out for yourself, that humble position that lines you up to connect to that which gives life. And of course, that's we see that in the gospel of Christ. You know, these men had to humble themselves, that they give up everything and follow Christ and trust in somebody else, in this, what Christ was preaching, trusting God to live by faith. Not when I say trust in somebody else, I don't mean, you know, another guru, another person, but in this something else, this seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The other thing is that you have to care about yourself more than you care about others. That's a prerequisite from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, if you want to eat of the tree of life, you have to do the reverse of that. You have to think about others more than yourself, or at least as much as yourself. That is the character of Christ. He came to serve, not be served. You have to have that character, or you can't eat of the tree of life. You have to be forgiving. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you aren't forgiving, forgiving debt, forgiving abuse, forgiving neglect, forgiving all those things, those traumas of your life, if you aren't forgiving, you cannot eat of the tree of life. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Paul says. You know, he goes to, you know, Paul, who supposedly did away with the law, which he did not do. He was talking about a legal system, not the natural law itself, but the legal system. And he went through a whole list of things where he was talking about For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Something Jesus said, something Moses said. If you can actually go there and live your life with that in truth, in spirit and truth. See, a lot of people say, oh yeah, I love my neighbor as myself, but I want free education for my kids, therefore I will send men out to take money away from my neighbor so that it will fund my child's education or my health care or my social welfare. You see, that's not love. That's force. And you're a part of that connection, that realm of coveting your neighbor's goods in order to get the benefits you want. See, when you go over there, your spiritual essence is sucked into that world where you become a contributor. And it's not the money that you contribute. There's no money anyway. It's all Federal Reserve notes, debt notes. It's energy that evil is looking for. It's looking for the energy that is constantly coming to your body. Look at the earth. The earth is composed of billions of atoms. Every one of those atoms is generating a field, a gravitational field. Together, they're almost undetectable. I mean, individually, they're almost undetectable. But together, as a mass, it is a huge power. It is clinging us to the planet, clinging the planet to an orbit around the sun. This gravitation accumulated in all these little atoms that form the planet, or all the little atoms that form the sun. They create this massive gravitational pull that actually reaches out across the universe, grabs planets millions of miles away, and holds them in orbit. All from individual little atoms collectively are doing that. The billions of people on the earth are doing the same thing in the quantum realm. Because you're attracted to vanity, because you are compatible with coveting your neighbor's goods, you are sending out a pathway of energy that is going out into the universe and funding, spiritually funding, evil. Imagine it like same as those single atoms within, you know, the dust atoms in your living room are generating a field of gravity that reaches from here to the sun. It's hard to imagine, but that's actually what the case is, because we know that all the atoms in the earth are pulling the whole earth simultaneously. All the atoms in your body are reaching out as far away as the sun. That's why you're in orbit around the sun. And between the atoms of the sun pulling the atoms in your body towards it and the atoms in your body pulling the sun towards it, we are in an orbit around the sun. Like each atom is tied with a string from here all the way to the sun. And they're all tied together. That's what's going on when you see the earth revolving around the sun or the sun revolving around whatever. You know, I mean, some people look at the earth as geocentric, you know, in the center of the universe. And to some degree, that's true, but the math is easier to calculate if you put the sun in the center of the solar system and calculate the orbits from that. You can calculate it from anywhere. It's just the math is simpler if you put the sun in the center. But the sun is not in the center of the galaxy. It's being affected. All the gravity from all the stars are reaching all the way here and connecting with the atoms in your body. So that's a huge distance. So distance doesn't even seem to matter. Although it does. We know it does, and you can calculate that in. The point is that your spiritual DNA that allows you to covet your neighbor's goods allows you to not love your neighbor as much as yourself. Allows something else to channel off most of your energy for its own purposes. The more selfish you are, the more of your energy will be channeled away for the purposes of something else in the universe. It'll either be just lost or it will be focused by some other entity that has dominion over it because you have become compatible with that entity, that spiritual entity. If you can become compatible with Christ, you have to cut off the influence of that spiritual entity that is now channeling most of your energy away. And God wants you to have that energy. He wants you to do all these things and greater things than these you shall also do. He wants you to do that. He wants you to have dominion over this whole planet, over the natural laws of this planet, and be implementing them. But you don't, because you've gone out of the presence of God, because you've turned your back on some of the character, some of the name of God. Now, when we talk about all this stuff about law and contracts and governments and everything, we're alluding to the precepts and principles of loving thy neighbor as thyself. We're showing you that by looking to the government that exercises authority one over the other to provide you with benefits at the expense of your neighbor, you're cutting yourself off from God. And you're making yourself vulnerable to the powers of Babylon, which are not governments. It's actually spiritual powers. And those spiritual powers are taking away energy, taking away the, you know, it's like channeling the gravitational pull of all the cells in your body to do its work. And you are drawn in to actually end up doing heinous, terrible things or being part of that because you're not living according to the precept upon precept of Christ and the prophets. Because you haven't really accepted Christ into your heart, the character of Christ into your heart. You've accepted an idea about Christ. Oh, I believe in Jesus. But you haven't really accepted the character of Christ. Because if you did, you would go to church for the purposes of serving others, helping others. But you go to church for what you can get out. I go to that church because I really love the music there. Oh, it makes me feel so good. Oh, because that preacher's really good. Because he's really short. He doesn't take a long time. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You're not going there to serve. If you're not going to serve, you're not going there with the character of Christ. It's not written in you to be like Christ. If you're going there to gossip and to dress up and to, none of that has to do with Christ. And you're just wasting your time there as far as salvation is concerned. But maybe not, because eventually you're going to come face to face with your apostasy, because you're right there in the middle of the apostate church. Oh, they want you to believe. Oh, you're saved. Oh, because you're a Lutheran, a Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, that you're connected to the true church. There is no true church. You're either with Christ or not. You're either seeking his ways or not. It doesn't say, join the church. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is not righteous to take from your neighbor to provide you with benefits, or ask somebody else to take from your neighbor for you so that you can have benefits. It's not right. It's covetous. You know, and when you go that route, next thing you know, you're committing adultery, next thing you know, you're aborting. And the fact is, I understand that a lot of you have dealt with individual sins and had an awakening, a feeling of repentance and change, and you did change. But the kingdom of heaven is an infinite journey. There's another level. there's more and more levels of forgiveness. It doesn't happen in an instant. That's one of the amazing things about mankind, is we live in time, because we are both spiritual and physical. We are physical creatures in time, and we exist in that. So there's layers and levels of our understanding. And the choices, the moral choices that you make, which you don't make up here in your conscious mind, you make it somewhere deep down in your heart and your spiritual mind. And then it's manifested in the physical world. And you find yourself doing things you would not have done because you already made choices. I mean, this is way back in Samuel 8. He says, the people asking for a king, which was an evil thing to do. And God says, it's not because they reject you, Samuel. It's because they've already rejected me. When did they reject him? Spiritually, they rejected him. And now this was the manifestation of a spiritual rejection of God, where they rejected God in the physical realm and chose to have a ruler who could exercise authority one over the other to fight their battles and protect them, etc. We're doing the same thing every day, and we have done it for generations now, where we've made a spiritual decision that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It's okay to not care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. It's okay to think, I need this, therefore, let's get it. We have gone away from hue and cry, away from this love for one another, and we need to repent and turn around and go back the other way. So, that's why we give you lists of things that you could do. Homeschooling, home health, gathering together in congregations of record. So that you can practice and come face to face with the fact that I'm really kind of selfish. I shouldn't be so selfish. I really should go help them. I should really tell the truth, you know. And so you change. Now, what we've done, we sent out the newsletter yesterday, Kingdom Newsletter. And we're going to be making that Kingdom Newsletter really brief. And it's getting harder and harder to send a newsletter out, because so many guys, if you send out too many in a day, you know, you send out 1,000 emails in 4 hours, before you know it, somebody's going to be blocking you. Some server's going to block you, block your IP, and they won't let your email go through. So, and I understand why they do that. So then you have to spend time registering and getting them notified. So what we're doing is we're putting the newsletter online. We're also inculcating in this the writings, going to be doing this, the writings of other ministers who have been studying this for years now and are getting the grip on the true gospel and what it's all about. They'll be writing on this page, and we'll be renewing it and changing it and archiving the old copies. And they'll be letting you know what's up on that newsletter. And it will be found at preparingyou.com, because that's a wiki site, preparingyou.com, because that's a wiki site. And a wiki site means they can construct it, and I can go do other things. And you'll find an article or two of mine up there. But basically, this is a newsletter of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it's going to be on that website. And you'll get notices if you're signed up for the Kingdom News List. And you can go there and read the updated articles and news items and tidbits of information. Because you're going to need skills that you don't have. And in the effort of learning those skills, you will learn spiritual skills. In the effort of sharing those skills with others, you will receive spiritual blessings. The more you move towards the character of Christ, the more you move towards what used to be Christianity was called the way, the ways of Christ, the ways of serving others, contributing to others, casting your bread upon the water for others, being good shepherds for others. The more you move that way, the less vulnerable to the spirits that we call evil, you are. You end up disconnecting and going out of the presence of evil, which is where everybody is at right now. You're consumed. You know, the evil that came to Jesus and said, if you bow down and serve me, I will give you all this, all these kingdoms. You see, and that's where you're at. You are already belonging to them. It's not that you're collateral for debt for the United States or for Canada or for England. It's that you belong to that which owns the kingdoms of the world. You're not saved. You're not separated. You cannot be separated until you take on the true character of Christ, which you begin to do when you really believe in Christ. And if you don't really believe in Christ, you will not understand or see or be released from the powers that be and the ways that be and the systems that be that are devouring your spiritual energy and leaving you incapacitated and helpless and unable to help yourself, unable to save yourself. This whole thing of Christ, what he was saying to do, what the early church was doing, we don't understand that. And in the newsletters and the articles and the recordings that we're going to make available, we're going to show you more and more. And I know I repeat myself on a lot of things, but a lot of people are telling me they hear it, and then all of a sudden it begins to connect because we tell it in a slightly different way. But it isn't a matter of you just learning it in your head. It's a matter of living it. You must walk. He didn't say, come listen to me. He said, come follow me. So we have to walk that walk. And we have to connect with people in our local areas who want to do this, because this connecting is going to give you a mantle of protection and power that will save your life and the lives of your children. Because it's like gravity, collectively in the spirit of Christ, not collectively in the spirit of Nimrod, collectively in the spirit of Christ, a new energy, a new power begins to manifest itself. And we're on the verge of that growing and in the nick of time. But we need to act. Our actions will not be enough. But in acting, there will be a blessing. And in that blessing, there will be a magnification. And in that magnification, there will be a salvation. And that salvation will be a salvation of service to others. So anyway, that's where we got to go. That's what we got to do. That's the way we have to be true seekers of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So anyway, until next week, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you as you learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Until then, peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.